1 Samuel chapter 16, I want to read from verse 4 through verse 13. It says, "And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, Comest thou peaceably? And he said, Peaceably. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab, and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab, and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shimei to pass by, and he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen him, or this. Again Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, The Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil, and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah." Last week's message, we were also taking a look at the life of David. And we looked at the reason why God chose and used David. And even according to the text we just read, it wasn't based on his outward appearance. It wasn't because of his physical stature, but it was because of his heart. And the scriptures teach us that God chose David because he was a man after his own heart. His heart was that like God's. And by application, each and every one of us should also strive to have a heart after God's. And if we will do that, then he will also choose and use us. But the title of my message this morning, again having to do with the life of David, is From the Prairie to the Palace. From the Prairie to the Palace. And to get us started, let me read some verses from the New Testament. And this is found in Luke chapter 16. Verses 9 and 11, and Jesus is speaking, and he says, "And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations." And then notice this sentence, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches?" David, I believe, as we'll see this morning, was a man who was faithful in little. Faithful on the prairie. And that ultimately, we'll see, will lead him, or did lead him, to the palace. But before we get into our message, let's pray and ask the Lord to bless it. Lord, I'm grateful for thy word. I'm grateful for the men, the faithful men, the faithful women that we find in the Bible who followed you faithfully. And Lord, I'm grateful for the example that we have before us here in the scriptures of David and of how he was faithful in little. And as a result, you used him in a great way. Lord, my prayer is that as we look into the scriptures this morning and as I preach this message on the life of David, that we would also be exhorted and inspired to be faithful in little. That, Lord, you might lead us. Lead us unto greater areas of service. So, Lord, bless the word as it goes forth. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. David was faithful in little. It says here in verse number 11 that Samuel said unto Jesse, "Are here all thy children?" All the sons that were present at the sacrifice had already been brought before Samuel. And he was looking for a king amongst the sons of Jesse. And so since none of these sons were evidently the king, Samuel was led to conclude that there must be another son of Jesse somewhere. And sure enough, there was. Samuel asked Jesse, "Are these all your sons?" And he said, "There remaineth yet the youngest." There is one more. The youngest of my sons. He's not here. Now all the rest of them were there. But David wasn't there. You know what that tells me? That tells me that in the mind of Jesse and in the mind of perhaps other people here in Bethlehem, Judah, David was the least likely candidate to be chosen by Samuel. But that's the one God chose. The one least likely. Notice though what his father says of David, "There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep." He keepeth the sheep. That was David's task as a boy. That was his one responsibility. That was his one duty. That duty was to keep the sheep. And I'm sure it may seem to most of you to be a very small responsibility, to be a very small duty that anybody could accurately perform, could appropriately perform. But you know what? To me, it's remarkable how faithful David is at this one little task of watching over the sheep. And you know, the first thing that makes this so remarkable is that David performed this task while everyone else was at the sacrifice. You hear me? Here David is watching the sheep all by himself. And why is he all by himself? Because everybody else is down at the sacrifice. I mean, they were having a big feast. They were having a big party. Samuel had come to visit them. And that didn't happen every day. And there was one person that was left out of all the festivities. And that was David. I mean, word came, Samuel's here. The great man Samuel's here. And he's come to perform a sacrifice. And so we need to get it all ready. And he invited, it says here, Samuel invited all the elders of the city. And they came together for this sacrifice. And you know what? I'm assuming that there was a great deal of anticipation about what was going to happen that evening. And everybody was looking forward to it. I mean, there was an air of excitement, I'm sure. But David, he didn't get a go. He drew the short straw. He was the youngest boy. His father thought, surely David wouldn't be the one that Samuel would anoint. And so he was left to take care of the sheep. Can you young people kind of picture that? Can you imagine what it is that you might have been feeling if you were David? Everybody else gets to go have fun, and you got to stay home and wash the dishes. Everybody else gets to go have fun, and you got to stay home and take care of little brother or little sister, or feed the dog, or something like that. How'd you be feeling? I don't know how it is that David felt, but I have the feeling that he accepted it graciously, as we'll see here in a little bit. But I'm sure that's not how most of us would have accepted this. What? They're having a big feast? We're having Samuel himself, the second greatest man, perhaps, you know, underneath King Saul, coming to visit. You know, that's like Dick Cheney coming to pay a visit, and I don't get to go? Or, you know, because it wouldn't be a big deal to have Joe Biden. Nobody even knows him yet. I mean, and David, he's got to go out in the field and take care of the sheep. And, you know, he sees, you know, the fireworks. And, you know, they probably didn't have fireworks. But, you know, he sees the lights and he hears all the carrying-ons, perhaps, you know, and all the fun they're having down there at the sacrifice. And he's left here to watch the sheep. Don't sound like much fun, does it? Well, you know, it's not the only time that this type of thing happens to poor David. Here in chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, in verse number 12, it says, "Now David was the son of that Ephratite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons. And the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next unto him, Abinadab, and the 3rd, Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul." Notice verse 15, though. "But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem." Again, please think just a moment about the picture that we have before us there. There's a battle raging. There's a war going on. The Israelites are fighting the Philistines. Now, you young ladies may not understand this, all right? But there's a battle going on, there's a fight going on, and you know what? All the boys of Jesse are wanting to go and to participate in the fight. Now, you ladies are thinking, you know, the best place to be right now is probably back home, as far away from the battle as I can get. But that's not how these boys were thinking. The boys were thinking, you mean there's a fight? Well, we got to get in on this.
That's right.
And 4 of the sons here are in view, the 3 eldest of Jesse and then David. Maybe it's because those 4 boys came looking to join the army. I mean, if there's a fight, they wanted to be involved. They didn't want to be left out. I mean, this was fun stuff. Swords and spears, right? Catapults that launched rocks. I mean, this is exciting. And so they're there to join up. And all the details aren't given to us, but what is given to us is that the 3 eldest are let go. Dad says, okay, you can go and you can fight. But he sends David where? Back to watch the sheep. And he's like, oh, I'm kicking the dirt. He's not, but we would be. Pouting. Oh, I want to fight. I never get to do anything fun. I was left out of the sacrifice, and now I'm left out of the battle. I always miss all the good stuff. I want to grow up. I want to be old. I want to fight. I want to party. I want to have a good time. And I'm stuck here watching the sheep. I ought to just shave every one of them. Cook up some lamb chops. And I could go to battle. You know what's amazing about David performing his task faithfully is that he was doing it while everybody else was doing other things that probably he would have considered much more important. They were at the sacrifice. Surely that's more important than watching the sheep. I mean, they're fighting the Philistines. The giant Goliath is out there. They need all the support and help that they can get. And I'm stuck here watching the sheep? Yeah. Yep, it might have seemed like a small task. But I believe that we're going to discover that because David was faithful at that task, that God would eventually promote him to greater areas of responsibility. You know, as a preacher, I can relate to David and what he might have been thinking, because this is probably what I, you know, yesterday, it's Saturday. The day before Sunday is Saturday, if you didn't know that. And Saturday is the world's day off, right? Most of the world's day off. I mean, that's when people have barbecues. That's when people go ride their ATVs, right? Or some people, you know, they take Friday, Saturday, or Saturday and Sunday. They have their mini vacations. You know, I mean, that's Sunday, football day. That's over with. But for some people, that's, you know, what Sunday is. It's a time of leisure, right? It's a time of relaxation, but not for the preacher. I'm just saying this because as I thought about David and what he could have been thinking, I thought of what I think sometimes, because on Saturdays, especially yesterday, I'm down here cooped up in an office studying to preach on Sunday. And I thought to myself, you know what, it ain't going to be long, it's going to be warm outside. and there's going to be activity all around me, and I'm going to be stuck in an office studying for Sunday. Everybody else, their weekends, it's used for leisure and relaxation, but not the preacher. And so sometimes the preacher, he'd be getting to feel sorry for himself. Everybody else gets to have fun. Everybody else gets to enjoy themselves. But all the weekend means to me is I got to get busy with my other job. But don't feel pity for me, all right? Because I don't feel pity for me too long. Because you know what? Leisure and relaxation will not merit you any rewards in heaven, and it will not grant to you greater areas of responsibility. All right? But if you use your weekend, and we should properly say our week beginning, Sunday, if we use it appropriately to serve the Lord and to serve Him faithfully, that will earn us rewards in heaven, yeah. And it may merit us greater areas of responsibility mm-hmm. here on the earth. Because I'm sure you could feel like that sometimes yourself. Sunday's a responsibility for the Sunday school teacher, not just the preacher. It's a responsibility for the bus captain to visit the kids. And maybe we could begin to think to ourselves, you know what? I deserve a little rest and relaxation. And we let those responsibilities go because we want to be able to have the fun that the world's having. If we do that, we can probably assure ourselves that God will not grant to us greater areas of responsibility because we haven't appropriately accepted the ones that we already have. You see, you first have to be faithful at the task that God has given you, no matter how small it is, before He'll ever give you a greater area of responsibility. So here David, he performed his task while everyone else was at the sacrifice, while everyone else was fighting the battle. But if you would turn to chapter 17 as well, in verse 32, and I want you to see that David also performed his task with all of his strength. He gave it his all. Here in chapter 17 and verse 32, it says, "And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him," that is Goliath. "Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And again, everybody's familiar, right, with what transpired just before this. Old Goliath, he'd come down off of his mountain and he'd defy the armies of Israel. He'd defy the God of Israel and say, "Why don't somebody come down and fight me? Just one of you, come down and fight me." But he was a giant of a man and everybody was afraid to do so. And all the armies of Israel were there hiding in the caves or behind the hills, not knowing what to do. And day after day, Goliath did this and defied the armies of Israel and defied the God of Israel. And David, he comes down and he sees what's going on and he says to Saul here, "Let no man's heart fail because of him." He says, "I'll fight him. I'll fight Goliath." But in verse 33, and Saul says to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth. And he a man of war from his youth." Saul says, "I don't think that's a good idea, David. You're just a boy. You're just a youth. This man has been fighting in battles since he was a youth. You're just a short little guy. He's a giant." Saul's thinking to himself, there's just no way, David, that you could kill and conquer Goliath. But David says in verse 34, "Thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him and smote him and delivered out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him." Notice what David's pointing to. David's pointing to a time while he was watching the sheep, and a bear and a lion came out after those sheep and he defended them. And he killed both of these animals, grabbing the lamb out of the mouth in one particular instance. And this, David is doing this to justify to Saul that he is capable of performing this task. His faithfulness in watching the sheep and God blessing and prospering him in doing so demonstrates that God can bless and prosper him in the battle with Goliath.
Right.
But again, just look here. Here David is, watching the sheep. And again, in the context, he's watching the sheep when people are off at the sacrifice. He's watching the sheep while his brothers are off at war. And you know what? That may cause a lot of us to kind of grow bitter and to go about with our responsibilities in a very light manner. But that wasn't the case with David. He says, I may have to do this while everybody's off at the feast. While everybody's off at the sacrifice, I may have to do this instead of going into battle with my brothers. But he said, if this is what God wants me to do, then I'm going to do it with all my might. I'm not going to let down my guard. Some people might have said, it's not worth it. Risking your life for a sheep? Going after a bear and a lion? We'll just let them have that one. But that wasn't David's mentality. David said, this is the task that my father, my earthly father, has given me to perform. This is the task that my heavenly father evidently wants me to perform. And I'm going to do it my best.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it my all. And that's what David did. He took his job serious. He didn't perform his duties lightly. You young people probably don't think it's all that important how well you do the dishes. I think it's important. You might not think it's important to wash the table off well or to stack the wood nice and neat. I think it's important. God thinks it's important. You have small tasks, and I use that word loosely, small tasks to perform right now in your lives. But you know what? If you're faithful at those small tasks, I believe it will cause God to give you greater responsibilities in the future. But if you treat all your responsibilities lightly, chances are He'll not give you anything that you consider more important to do. Why would He? If you can't do these small tasks faithfully, how can He trust you to do these greater tasks faithfully? If you can't wash the table without leaving crumbs on it, it's one of my pet peeves. I've taught my children how many times? Wax on, wax off, right? Wash like this. Now you don't just go, whoo, 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 and I'm done. You work this area, and you work it slow. Again, I'm on the hobby horse here. But if you can't wipe the table off right, if you can't stack the wood right, how's Dad ever going to let you use the chainsaw?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, I know how it is. I was the younger brother. It was Dad, it was Mike, and it was me. And we were off, you know, to do our lumber work. And Dad had a chainsaw, and Mike had a chainsaw, and I had a squirt bottle. And I used to think, when am I ever going to get to use a chainsaw? I don't know if I ever did get to use a chainsaw, I'll tell you the truth. I was the little guy, so I just faithfully, they cut around the trees and I sprayed them. I just sprayed them. So I know how you young people feel sometimes, right? Elisa, she's the oldest, so she has all the privileges, and then all the rest of the Potter kids want to be like Elisa. And you know, Elisa has been given a great deal of responsibility by her mom and dad, but it's because she's been faithful. Faithful at everything that we've asked her to do. And that's the way it is with earthly parents, and that's the way it is with our Heavenly Father. If we're not faithful at what God has given us to do, He's not going to give us more because He can't trust us. There in Luke chapter 16, specifically what the Lord is talking about is money. And He says, you know, if you can't be faithful with your money, which is not true riches, how in the world is the Lord going to entrust you with true riches? Like the souls of human beings. Like the welfare of His people. David performed his task while everybody else was doing something else, and he performed his task with all of his strength. And then also I want you to see here in 1 Samuel chapter 17 that he performed it until his father gave him a new task. Here in verse 28, of chapter 17, it says, "And Eliab, the eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men," David spake unto the men, "and Eliab's anger was kindled against David." Why? Because he said, why doesn't anybody go fight Goliath? You know, David came, and we'll see here in just a moment, at his father's request to bring to his brothers supplies that they needed, and he watches as Goliath comes down and defiles the armies of God, and he says, why isn't somebody doing something? God will help the person that goes and fights Goliath. But his brother is angry at David's words. And he says, why camest thou down hither? Why did you come here? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? He falsely accuses him. Falsely accuses him of neglecting the sheep. Of leaving them all alone and unprotected to come down and to see the battle. But what I want to tell you is that is not true. Why did David go leave the sheep? Why did he go down to the battle? It was at the request of his father.
Right.
His father said, come here, David. I have a new task for you. All right? You have faithfully watched the sheep. Now I have a new task that I want you to perform. I want you to go down and take to your brothers needed supplies. But David watched the sheep faithfully until his father asked him to perform a new task. And you know, that's the way we need to be about the responsibilities that God has given to us. We need to accept those responsibilities. We need to perform them well in spite of what everybody else is doing. And you know what? We need to do them with all of our might, and we need to do them until God calls us unto a different responsibility.
That's right, yes.
We need to be faithful. Faithful. What is it that God has entrusted you with right now in your life? I could go around to each and every person, but I won't do that. You just think to yourself, what is the responsibility that God has given to you right now? You just do it. Do it with all of your might, with all of your strength, until God calls you to some other task. Would you do that? That's being faithful. And it's not until we do that that I believe God will entrust us with other tasks and other areas of responsibility. In 2 Samuel, I want you to turn there with me. 2 Samuel in chapter 7. In verse, just look at verse number 8. It says, now therefore shall thou say unto my servant David. God sends Nathan to David and says, this is what I want you to say to David, my servant. Thus saith, because David had requested to build the temple. He wanted to build a temple for the Lord. And so Nathan inquired of the Lord, and Nathan comes back with the Lord's response, and he says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. It says the same thing in 1 Chronicles chapter 17, that God took David from the sheepcote, from watching the sheep, to being the king. In Psalm chapter 78 and verse 70, it says, he, God, chose David, also his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes, great with young, he brought him to feed Jacob, his people. Will you just see the testimony that God gives of David? He took him from watching the sheep to being the king. He took him from feeding literally the flocks of his father to feeding the flocks of his heavenly Father, to feeding Jacob, to feeding Israel, to protecting and to nurturing that nation, and to bring them into a proper worship of God. But God's work in David's life didn't start when he made him king. God's work in David's life started whenever he was watching those sheep in the prairie. And it was because of his faithfulness there in the prairie with those sheep that God promoted him to king in the palace. And what I want to encourage all of us is to be faithful in whatever it is that God has called us to do. Whatever it is we're doing, driving that bus, teaching the Sunday school class, whatever it is that we're doing, we need to do it faithfully. Or God will never entrust us with greater riches. You young people, you need to right now begin a habit of doing all of your responsibilities and all of your tasks as faithfully as you can. You make sure those dishes are spotless. You make sure that wood cart is stacked with wood. You make sure that bedroom is clean. You make sure those things are done. Because that's God's task for you right now in your life. To honor your parents. And that's how you honor your parents. By performing your tasks faithfully. And when God sees that you do that, I believe He'll give you a greater area of responsibility. And if you do that faithfully, He'll give you a greater area of responsibility. You know, one of the things we'll find about David is he never sought to be promoted before God's timing. He was here anointed king in 1 Samuel chapter 16. But you know, in that same chapter, we're going to see him going into the courts of King Saul and ministering to him. Ministering to him. David knows that he's been anointed king, but there's King Saul still on the throne. David doesn't get anxious or nervous. He doesn't grow impatient. He just waits on God's timing. I don't believe we should seek to be promoted. All right? I believe we should seek to be faithful.
Right.
And as we seek to be faithful and are found faithful, then I believe God will give to us greater areas of responsibility. All of this again reminds me of Jesus. And it probably ought to, since David was a man after God's own heart, because Jesus, he left the festivities of heaven. He left everyone there in celebration to leave to this earth, to leave and come to this earth to perform a specific task given to him by his Father. And he gave that task his all. He gave it his all. He was found faithful, and he gave his life for you and I. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary in our place that we might have hope of heaven. He died for our sins. He was faithful up until the very end, and he performed his task faithfully. And it wasn't until that task was done and God the Father presented him with a new task that he moved on. And we're to be found like Jesus. Right? If we call ourselves His disciples, we're to be found like Him. We're to be found faithful at the tasks that He gives us to perform. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, let me just say to you, Jesus came to this earth to die for you. He looked down from heaven and saw that you were a sinner and that you needed a Savior. And so He came to be a substitute for you. He died on the cross for your sins. He bled and died for you so that you can be forgiven, so that you can be saved. And if you're not saved, I encourage you this morning to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then once you know Him as your Savior, serve Him faithfully. And that's my admonition to every one of us. Serve God faithfully in whatever it is He's called you to do right now. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Thy Word, and I pray You'll use it this morning to help Your people. God, encourage us to be faithful in the task that You've given us to perform, even if in our mind they seem but small. Help us to desire more than anything in life to be found faithful to Thee. Lord, I believe it's only when we're faithful in little that You'll give to us much, that you'll give to us greater responsibility. God, help these young people that are a part of our church to realize that they need to give their tasks and their responsibilities their all, so that you'd be able to entrust them with greater areas of service in the future. So God, bless the message. Even speak to the hearts of those that are present and are lost. Help them to see that Jesus came and that He died for them and for their sin, so that they could be set free from its punishment and have a home secure in heaven. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me. And let's turn to hymn number 58, I Gave My Life for Thee. Hymn number 58. And as we sing, if there's something you need to pray about, I encourage you to come and pray about that. If you need to be saved, I encourage you to come and to say to me, "Preacher, I want to be saved. I want to know that when I die, I'm going to be with the Lord in heaven."